Let's go! We ready? Woo! Let's go, baby. Dummies for Sports, here we go. Okay, ready to roll?
Sort of, sure. That'd be pretty funny.
This is our first Dummies for Sports podcast. Gotta have the energy. Gotta get the energy up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I can't have my WhatsApp going pooping.
Gotta get the energy up. Let's go! We ready? Woo! Let's go, baby. Dummies for Sports, here we go. We got the whole, you guys can see what I'm talking about. We got the whole situation going on over here. Dummies for Sports, Musty. How are we feeling about this? New era great, in the show. Great.
New beginnings. This is great. This is awesome. Get right into it.
It's awesome. Let's get right into it. You know, I'm feeling great about this. March Madness. Great time to do this. Great time to release this. We've had some good reviews about the new look. We've got new logos. We've got an entire new look here. New colors. Got some purple and black. It's Ravens color. Did you ever notice it's really Ravens colors the way Morty did it over here? So, did a great job. Shout out to Morty. Fantastic job as always. Our professional producer who's just always at the top of his game, working tirelessly to make this happen. So, we're very appreciative of that. And we got a great episode today, Meisty. We got the top five free agent signings, which includes trades. So technically, the title shouldn't be top five free agent signings. It should really be top five signings or top five additions. So it's going to be the top five additions during the offseason so far. We're already now, about a week into free agency or unofficial free agency. We're a week following the legal tampering period, which they just started this year. So therefore, we have a lot of moves that went down in the NFL. Some teams making a lot of moves. Some teams like the Ravens. You know how many additions the Ravens have made to their roster, Meisty? Notable ones, at least. That's it. Zero. So other teams like the Packers also not doing much. So, you know, it's just the Texans.
The Ravens are connected to Nelson Aguilar. He fits a Ravens, you know, wide receiver perspective.
Yeah.
He fits the perfect can't catch, can't run routes, gets hurt. Perfect time for a Ravens receiver.
Oh, no. OBJ fits all that. Could catch, could run routes, just gets hurt.
So he always,
right, and also the Ravens are, okay, so they're going to get OBJ, Nelson Aguilar, both of them will be off the field within a month. Great, okay, and then we'll have to go back to, you know, Devin Duvernay as the number one receiver and James Pochet as number two. Okay, but we'll figure it out as the season progresses. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is still the big question mark there, but enough talking about Lamar Jackson for now, at least, until we have more information over there. Let's get into this list, Meisty. We got the top five additions that teams have made during the offseason this year. I'm going to start off with number five, Meisty. Meisty and I, we're a little concerned that we didn't exchange lists prior to the show, so we're a little concerned that maybe we're going to share some of the same players. So here you go. Meisty's hearing mine for the first time, and I'm hearing Meisty's for the first time. It's all happening together. Okay, so here we go. Number five is Von Bell, former safety for the Cincinnati Bengals. I absolutely love the signing. I think it was about $13 million guaranteed, $23 million over 3 years. 23rd best safety in the league in terms of coverage grade last year for safeties that at least had 1,000 snaps. At the end of the day, you paired this guy with Jesse Bates last year. The Bengals secondary and defense kept on getting better and better. And I think at that value that the Panthers got, now they have Xavier Woods back there and Jeremy Chinn in the secondary, starting to build that roster up a little. I really do like this as an underrated signing. Von Bell has been one of my favorite underrated players in the AFC North for a while now. So for the Panthers to snag him at about, $7.5 million a year, I really like that signing. So number five, I'm going with Von Bell, Meisty.
Okay, number five for me is Darren Waller to the Giants. I just really like that. I think the Giants are making a move on a weak division. Not that the Eagles are weak. The Eagles are a very good team. Obviously, they just made the Super Bowl. But around that division, the Cowboys have proven that they're just a struggling team year in, year out. The Commanders are just all over the place. They're trying to sell the team. They can't bring in players because no one wants to play for the owner. No, it's a disaster there. So you do just have the Eagles, and you have a conference in which you can get into the wild card with a bad record. It's proven that as well. And I would assume the Eagles aren't going to be as good as they were this past year. Maybe, maybe not, depending on what they do in the offseason. The Giants are attacking right now, and they're looking to make a run for it. So Darren Waller, I think, and then, you know, they have Daniel Jones, Darren Waller. They tagged Saquon Barkley. I think it helps with what they have: Paris Campbell, they have Darius Slayton, Shepard, Isaiah Hodgins. So with Darren Waller coming in, he brings a expertise of knowledge to help the receiving corps there. So I think that number five is Darren Waller.
Yeah, I didn't put Waller on my list, but I do like that. It's going to be an honorable mention. I really should have. For some reason, it slipped my mind. But anyway, number four, I'm going to get to another trade for a receiver known as DJ Moore. The Bears trade for DJ Moore. And aside from the load they got and the haul they got in this trade from the Panthers, specifically DJ Moore, the reason I like this trade is because what we've been saying about Justin Fields over the years as well, over the last couple of years, I should say, as well, you know, as a rushing threat, he's of the best in the league, and they finally tapped into his rushing ability in 2022. But as a passer, he's got a lot of question marks. But he's got excuses, right, Maestro? He's got excuses. He doesn't exactly have the best supporting cast over there in Chicago. Give him a DJ Moore, put some weapons around him. Now let's see what you can do, Justin Fields. So this is the Bears are going to put Justin Fields in an opportunity to succeed. And if he doesn't, then they know he's not their guy. But if he does, great, let's move on with him. Let's sign him to a contract, and we'll move on from there. So I like this as a franchise, from a franchise perspective, that the Bears are doing this to really put Justin Fields in the best position to succeed and see how they'll proceed from there. That's why I like this move for DJ Moore.
Wow. You know, my number four, and this is actually, can we get an age check on a player? How old is CJ Gardner-Johnson? The number four for me is CJ Gardner-Johnson. The Lions, see, the way we're grading these
25
lists, it's crazy. So think about the way we're grading these lists a little bit. I'm including in the way the team also gets out of him, not just the fact that they got a player. What does it help that team? Like, oh, so you went and signed Patrick Mahomes, but you have, you know, you have a 90-year-old receiver and no lineman. You're not just getting, I mean, Mahomes, that's not a good example because Mahomes can do whatever. But my point is, you can sign whoever you want. The question is, does he really help you? Like, it's a bad signing.
That's a great point because, you know, that's why the contract is a factor as well. Is it conducive for the team? If it costs $1 billion to get him, then it might not necessarily be. Okay, fine.
Correct.
You know, Hargrave was a great signing, but he costed a lot of money. So are you going to put him? So it's a value addition, I guess you can say. Right.
So for me, I'm factoring in all these things. Anyway, for me, it's the Detroit Lions getting CJ Gardner for only $8 million. He led the league in picks last year. Could the Eagles not afford $8 million on a one-year deal for a 25-year-old? What is he doing? What, the Lions just got a steal, but why wouldn't they sign him to a long-term deal? Nothing really makes sense here, but it's still my number four because he's going to help the Lions. I mean, the Lions have right now they have trying to remember who the other Tracy Walker. He just got hurt though. They have some work to do, I guess, otherwise in that secondary, but you know, hopefully CJ Gardner-Johnson helps the Lions out.
It's a good one. CJ Gardner's good. I actually don't have him on my list, believe it or not, but number three, see, so far so good. Number three, I'm gonna go with an underrated player, Arden Key, who over the last 2 years, a 14.6% pressure rate. I think about 80 pressures he's totaled over the last 2 years. Top 20 in the league, not just amongst edge rushers, amongst all defensive players. So he's been a top 20 pass rusher in the league statistically over the last 2 years. A very young player, about 25 years old. Again, not a bank breaker. It's 3 years, $21 million. Add him to the edge. I like it a lot. Even though the Titans have a lot of work to do on the defense, granted. But to start, you know, you want to add value contracts. Young players, decent value. At this, is $13 million guaranteed. It's about $7.5 million, similar to Von Bell's contract, about $7.5 million a year. Great contract for the Titans to add. I like it. I think it did some nice things in free agency, but this one I absolutely love. So Arden Key is number three for me, Maestro.
Who? No, I'm just kidding. So number three for me, sorry about that. I just have to pull up my list here. Oh my. Number three for me. Now this is gonna sound a little crazy. So this is more than just the fact that they signed him, but the Atlanta Falcons, they signed Jesse Bates. Now, it's not the biggest signing, but I think that that division sucks. That's like the nastiest division. That NFC South, come on, we've discussed this off the air.
Yeah.
That division is so disgusting. And like the Bucks think they're doing something by adding Baker. Like, that's not helping your division. The Raiders getting, the Saints getting, you know, Derek Carr. It's nice. It might even be on the top five list somewhere, but is it really going to help the Saints? No. Not really. Maybe a few more wins, but it's not helping. The Falcons, at the end of the day, if they can make a push right here, they don't have a quarterback, though, but they will get one in the draft, so they'll probably have a rookie. So, you know, if the defense can come alive, they can hold, you know, and the offense puts up some points. Division, they could win because it could be – you could literally have 6-7 wins in that division. So I like what the Falcons did. I like that Jesse Bates is there, and he was cheap. I don't think he cost anything. So that's my number – three.
Jesse Bates is good. He's one of the underrated pieces in the Bengals secondary. He's not as underrated as Von Bell has been, but yeah, Jesse Bates is a good pick. Number two for me, I'm going to stay in the secondary. I love attacking the secondary. That's a part of the philosophy here, Meisty, is that I feel that certain positions are more valuable than others, and therefore I feel it's more worth investing in certain positions rather than others. Receiver, cornerback, quarterback goes without saying. But receiver, cornerback, because it's a passing game, so you want to, you know, you want players that are going to advance your passing game and players that are going to be able to defend the pass. So that's my opinion, at least. And number two, I'm going to go with Stephon Gilmore. The Cowboys traded for him. He's still playing at a high level since 2017. Best coverage grade in the league, 92.8. You heard that, 92.8 coverage grade. Best in the league. Since 2017, the last 6 years. So, you know, but he's going to be a cap hit of about $9 million this year, I believe, for the Cowboys. So $9 million, you get, he's 1 year left on his contract. Even though he's in his mid-30s, like low to mid-30s, 1 year of a guy that's been playing at a top-notch level over the last few years for that trade for a low draft pick, yeah, I like that. Yeah, and they're all excited about him playing aside Trevon Diggs. You know, and to a certain extent, I do like the fact that he's going to be playing opposite Trevon Diggs. As much as I have conflicted feelings about Diggs as a cornerback, because he does give up a lot of yards, as much as he's a playmaker. Now, maybe Stephon Gilmore will take the top receiver, or maybe Trevon Diggs will take the top receiver, and it'll actually allow the other one to thrive. So maybe Trevon Diggs only gave up a lot of yards in his rookie year as a result of him going up against the number one receivers. When he goes up against number two, maybe he won't be, and he'll still be able to take more chances and create more turnovers. So I do think this can be extremely beneficial for the secondary in Dallas. So I'm going Stephon Gilmore, number two.
Well, I have to take back something I said before. I said the Falcons don't have a quarterback. Totally forgot they also signed Taylor Heinicke.
So Heinicke!
They have a superstar. They have a superstar.
By the way, I don't understand that move at all. Like, if you wanted a bridge quarterback, you have Desmond Ridder already. If you wanted a future quarterback, then what did Heinicke help you with? What was the point of that move?
Future, I think it's the same reason they're in a build. The Falcons are definitely in a rebuild stage, but we can always get into a different time, see what else moves they make, who they draft, because they might even draft a quarterback. So like, Desmond Ridder sucks. Maybe,
that's my
maybe
point. Not. If they're going to draft, meaning what did this accomplish for you? Desmond Ridder is a bridge quarterback. If you want to see what you have in Desmond Ridder, see what you have in Desmond Ridder. You're not going to see what you have in Taylor Heinicke. He's simply a bridge quarterback, which they already have in Desmond Ridder. He's both the bridge Heinicke quarterback and the see what you're going to see.
Don't disrespect Taylor Heinicke. He is a superstar.
Taylor Heinicke is not that good. He's exciting to watch, but he's just not that good.
He has more wins than Lamar Jackson in the last 4 years. In the last 3 years. Yeah. In the last 2 years, he has more wins than Lamar Jackson.
Do you think that's probably not even true? Which is the saddest
probably
thing.
It sounds good.
Probably in the last year, Lamar Jackson has more wins than Taylor Heinicke has in his entire career.
Anyway, so we're up to number two.
Number two.
Very conflicted, obviously, here. But I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers technically pending.
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. Rocky, I don't know, Rocky, I think I have to redo this list for you because Aaron Rodgers to the Jets, man, is like, if you're talking about your, let's tone it down for a second.
It's not officially done yet. That's probably why.
Okay, but he's playing for the Jets next year somehow. Regardless, he's playing for the Jets. Here's the thing. First of all, the Jets in general, they brought in Alan Lazard. They brought in Chuck Clark. Not that, that's just a big name, but they don't really have they don't really lose anything this year. They lose a few linemen, but the Jets are a team. Now, reality is going to settle in New York soon and be like, oh, Aaron Rodgers isn't that guy. And he's 40 years old, and he's not capable of doing what he used to be able to do. His mind is still probably very strong. I mean, he is a little cuckoo-wookoo these days. But I'm sure Aaron Rodgers will figure it out very quickly there. But I don't – this is why it's not the number one move. But getting Aaron Rodgers, getting a top 10 quarterback possibly of all time on your team with a stacked team, literally a full stack of players – And you know, so you make a big move here. So number two is Aaron Rodgers. I think I don't have nothing needs to be said more when it comes to Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Aaron Rodgers is a fair bet at number one. I'm not gonna deny that one. I guess in my head it didn't process that the contract went through, so I didn't think about him. But I am gonna end off with another trade. I know three of my guys were trades, I think. You know, that's another thing, Meisty. That's another thing. You know, because when you were looking at the free agency market prior to the offseason, you didn't see many impressive names. But all of a sudden, trades happen and signing and cuts and, you know, players get released. And that's where the gold is, right? The gold is in the things that you don't even know are going to happen prior to free agency, Meisty. So, yes, granted, it was a weak free agency class in terms of who was due to hit free agency, but plenty of impactful additions have been made. And the most impactful, in my opinion, maybe other than Aaron Rodgers. So at number one, I'm going to have Jalen Ramsey. I got to have Jalen Ramsey. Since 2016, he's been the highest grade cornerback in the league. He's been the highest graded cornerback in the league, highest coverage grade in the league since 2016. I know I already told you that Gilmore has the highest coverage grade since 2017. But if you go back 1 year, if you extend it one more year, Ramsey's got the highest coverage grade in the league. So honestly, and that's amongst cornerbacks. So I don't know, man. To say that also that he hasn't been good recently in the last 3 years, he has 43 incompletions. He's forced 43 incompletions. He has 36 pass breakups, 9 interceptions last year, I believe was top 6 in the league. All those are top 6 marks. So statistically, ranking about top 5, top 6 in the league in the last 3 years. It's not like this guy's on the decline. You get that trade for, again, a low draft pick. I love it. Miami has seemed to have been digging for the gold recently, all right? Getting Tyreek Hill and nice, young, good-looking coach. And he's very funny, by the way, I have to say. And getting Jalen Ramsey in there and Bradley Chubb. So they're certainly looking for the big names. But number one for me, Meisty, I'm a big fan of Jalen Ramsey. I'm a big fan of adding value in the secondary. And a big fan of investing in the secondary. So even if you got to pay him a little, I think it's worth it for a guy of this caliber. Number one, Jalen Ramsey, Meisty.
Came off my list. That's pretty interesting. So obviously number one for me is my Chicago Bears, my pick to win the NFC. I don't even know what division they're in, North. But DJ Moore's, to me that's the best move you can make. The Bears made the best move possible. I said number one Bears. I meant to say number one DJ Moore, but number one pick, I mean, the guy is a beast. The guy's an animal. I've been watching him since he was in Maryland here in college. He's an animal.
Yeah. He's a good player. He's a good player. I think he totaled over 1,100 yards in about three or four years in his career. So he's been a very prolific receiver and underrated also. So, you know,
So there's no more that needs to be, like, I mean, you have Justin Fields, who Rocky's not a fan of. You have DJ Moore now.
Let him prove it. Let him prove it a little.
They're going to get the 8th pick in the draft. They're going to do whatever they want with that. They're still going to get whoever they wanted as in the draft. They get rid of David Montgomery, whatever that means for them. And, so they're bringing in a bunch of players. And they brought in so far, let's go through this. Ready? The Bears have brought in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 players already.
That's a lot.
And meanwhile, the only team, by the way, to not bring in a player, the only team, we've discussed this, the only team still.
The Baltimore Ravens.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, well, the Packers, have the Packers added anyone yet? I don't think
so. Yeah, listen to this. I'm scrolling down here. The Packers, they brought in Tavarius Moore and Matt Orzech.
Yeah, but no one notable. That's what I'm saying. So the Ravens also signed someone today, didn't they?
No.
Like a backup.
No one.
They didn't? Not a single player? That is crazy.
Yes.
And it's not like it's not like they have the worst cap situation in the league. The Bucks have the worst cap situation in the league. They don't have a great cap situation. Don't get me wrong. But I think they've already cleared enough where they're under the cap now. So
every time a trade is made.
I don't know, man. It's very weird. It's very weird. I do have an honorable mention that I wanted to throw at you. That I didn't
3 hours ago.
But by the way, Meisty, I just want to say we were all concerned. Our lists were completely different.
Well, we judged it differently. We judged it pretty differently.
We judged it differently. I think we only had one player. I think DJ Moore was the only common denominator between our two lists. And item number four, we had a number one. So that's pretty...
I have an honorable mention as well that I totally just let flip my mind.
Another honorable mention. I like Stephon Gilmore. I like the Lions. You mentioned C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Now they're going to get Stephon Gilmore. Cameron Sutton, I'm sorry, former cornerback for the Steelers. I know the Steelers have a bunch of solid underrated players. Cameron Sutton is one of them. Only allowed 411 yards last year. Ninth best amongst cornerbacks. So, you know, he's definitely sneaky. Had a sneaky good year last year. And, you know, the Lions are loading up in the secondary, which is what I love. I love when teams do that. Load up at the right places. You know, this is where you want to invest. You want to invest in the secondary. Do I think they can add another receiver? Yes. I still don't think they have the answer at quarterback. But, you know, you mentioned that division is not good, Meisty. You know, you predicted the Bears to win the division. I wouldn't go that far because I think that the Lions are making some real good moves here, Meisty. You know,
the Lions are the real team in that division at the end of the day to win it.
And they only improved their case in the offseason, making some real good signings like Gardner Johnson and Cameron Sutton and bolstering up the secondary. Yeah, hopefully they can get another receiver in the draft. You know, Jared Goff is good enough to win that division. I don't think Jared Goff's not that good. He's a decent quarterback. But, you know, we've seen that when you put good players around Jared Goff, your team can win games. That's what they did with the Rams. Good system, good play calling with Sean McVay, and they made the Super Bowl. It's not because of Jared Goff. He was enough to do it, you know. But you put players around him and you give him playmakers, give him a great defense like the Lions have been doing. I like that. So I like Cameron Sutton as an underrated honorable mention for me. I don't know if you got one as well. Anything else you want to point out? Any other?
Two honorable mentions.
Let's hear it, baby.
My number one, Jimmy Garoppolo.
No. I knew you were doing that to get a reaction out of me.
Morty, I don't know if you're there, but clip it. Okay, next. No, I was kidding. I just wanted to get you started. But no, my real, and this is my honorable mention,
I took the bait.
But Ben Powers, I think the Broncos brought in a very good guard in Ben Powers. Now, the Broncos have other issues. That's why he didn't make my list. But if they brought in the right coach, so they're putting the pieces together. Whatever was going on with Russell Wilson up until now, apparently it's done. And he's not in. He was his own shenanigans. So I'm looking forward to the Broncos making news now. They're going to struggle because they're in the Chiefs. They have to face them twice a year. They have to face the Chargers twice a year. And Jimmy Garoppolo now leading the Raiders, they should have to face them twice a year. So, and that Jimmy Garoppolo can beat them somehow. So maybe. It drives you nuts that I say it.
Garbage.
Rocky, the Raiders brought in Jakobi Meyers. He helped them win a game last year.
Okay, you know what? You know
how many
what?
Players, Rocky, helped a team win a game before they were the year before they were on a team. How many can you say? One, Jakobi Meyers.
Could I? Oh, wait, do your honorable mention first before I go off on a rant.
I said Ben Powers.
Ben Powers is a good signing. I like that. You know, they definitely need to bolster up the offensive line in Denver. And like you said, they're going to have to build the team around Russell Wilson, right? That's why they invested a lot of money into Sean Payton. You already invested all this money into Russell Wilson. You can't move away from him. That's not an option. So improve the offensive line. You know, so Tim Patrick's going to come back at some point in the season, right? So, you know, you're going to have playmakers around him, and the defense was top five in the league last year. So, yeah, I agree. I think Denver can certainly make some strides this year, but that's contingent on Russell Wilson playing better, Meisty, right? That's definitely contingent on Russell Wilson playing better. That's the big factor here. So we'll certainly see what happens there. But, you know, I had this – everyone went nuts at me on YouTube, and I put a YouTube short, TikTok, Instagram, Reel, whatever the heck it is. I don't know. I'm acting like I'm an oldie or something. I'm not. I just don't use these things so much. But I did put out a reel that, you know, I thought that the Raiders, in fact, downgraded by going from Derek Carr to Jimmy Garoppolo. And everyone said, what do you mean? Do you know what Jimmy Garoppolo's winning percentage is as a quarterback? And it's my favorite argument because it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. When I look at quarterbacks, I just want to respond to everyone because a lot of people did it to me and I couldn't respond to everyone, and certainly not as eloquently as I would have wished because I needed to speak it out. So in response to that, basically, my point is quarterback wins is not an accurate stat, okay? As I mentioned many times, 22 players on the field at once, 10 other players on the offense. There are so many factors to a team winning football games. I mean, there are teams that have won Super Bowls with mediocre quarterbacks, many of them. Why is that? There's much more to a team than just a quarterback. Is the quarterback the most important position by far? Not even close. No question. But it's not mutually exclusive. Just because a quarterback is the most important position doesn't mean it's the only factor to winning games. And Jimmy Garoppolo having success in San Francisco is not necessarily because he's this great quarterback. Yes, he's better than CJ Beathard. He's better than Nick Mullins. Great. I know when they came in, they couldn't win games. Is he better than Brock Purdy? I don't know. They won plenty of games with Brock Purdy too. I'm just saying. There's obviously something to his surroundings, Kyle Shanahan's play calling. All of that is obviously a much bigger factor. So why? How can you bring a proof from how many wins and losses a guy plays? I'm looking at his on-field performance. When you look at Jimmy Garoppolo's on-field performance, it's very, very pedestrian. That's all it is. Derek Carr has had 99 big-time throws in the last 3 years. This guy actually has the ability to get the ball down the field and create explosive plays. Jimmy Garoppolo does not. And he's also had years where he's had some turnover problems. So it's not like he's a safe player either. He's just not that good. He's very average. That's the problem. When you look at wins, you're going to see a lot of misleading things. When you just look at a quarterback and their wins, it's very misleading because there's a whole team behind him. And that's why I think that the Raiders downgraded. Not because Jimmy Garoppolo won so many games. That doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't. Because wins is a team stat. What?
Colin Kaepernick also won a lot of games as their quarterback.
Exactly. Brock Purdy did too.
By the way, slick honorable mention. I don't know what the Patriots are doing, but they dumped a bunch of guys, and then they're like, actually, you know what? We want a bunch of guys. So they went and got Juju, Mike Gesicki, Riley Reiff, James Robinson, Calvin Anderson, and Chris Board. And we're like, oh, now we don't want these guys. And then after that, they went and dumped like Jabril Peppers, or I think that was earlier in the year, whatever it was. But like, I don't know what the heck he's doing. He re-signed Jabril Peppers. He dumped Jacoby Myers and Devin McCourty. McCourty was who he dumped. I don't understand what is happening in New England. I'm just a fan because Bill Belichick is up to shenanigans, and like, I'm for it. I'm all. See, listen. Rocky, I said it to someone earlier. There's no reason why Bill Belichick doesn't go out and get Lamar Jackson. Why not? Yeah. Like, how fun would that be?
Maybe.
It'd be the craziest thing. Like, if someone can like get Lamar Jackson to like win playoff games, it's Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, you know, there's so many possible landing spots for Lamar Jackson, but you hit on this, Meisty. You know, my pet peeve of the last couple of years have been the New England Patriots. Like, all of a sudden Brady leaves. How does that affect Belichick's management skills? But it seems to have done exactly that, right? That's what's happened here. You take a lateral move, pretty much, from Jacoby Myers to Juju Smith-Schuster. What is that going to help you? You lose Jacoby. You get a guy. They're pretty much similar players. From
John Smith to Mike Gesicki. Okay, I hear the upgrade.
A little bit of an upgrade. Maybe a little bit of an upgrade in both. You could easily say it's a lateral move. That's your solution for putting Mac Jones. That's your solution for putting Mac Jones in the best position to win on your rookie contract. I don't quite understand it. You have 3 years left on the rookie contract. This is the window that you have to try to get some playmakers around Mac Jones and put him in the best position to succeed, much like the Dolphins are doing with Tua. That, it's crazy to say, but the Patriots should be modeling themselves after the Dolphins now. I think the Dolphins are taking the right route by getting Bradley Chubb, Jalen Ramsey, Tyreek Hill. They have Jalen Waddle now. They have the playmakers. They have big players on their team because they have a window with Tua. Tua's not that great, but he's good enough where if you put a good team around him, you have a chance to win a Super Bowl. That's what the Patriots should be doing. What are you getting Juju Smith-Schuster for after you just lost Jacoby Myers? What are you getting Mike Gesicki for after losing Jonnu Smith? Great, good players. What's he going to do for you?
I'm going to add fuel to the fire right here. You ready for this?
How much do you think
Jakobi Meyers cost?
$11 million a year. It was 3 years, 33. Good. I like that signing a lot, by the way.
How much was Juju?
It was similar. It was the same thing, right?
3 years, same thing. Three years, $33 million. Exactly the same amount. Can you explain to me why they went with Juju? Dancing Juju over Jakobi Meyers?
No, it's true. It's that the market proves our point. The market proves that it's the same. They're the same player. Maybe you could say one's better, a little better than the other. At the end of the day, like you said, even if Juju was all his off-field stuff, at the end of the day, just as an on-field,
it's not off-field. It's on the field that he dances.
Oh, that's fair enough. I guess never looked at it like that. Never looked at it like that, but all the shenanigans, like you said, shenanigans, right? But it's interesting, you know, shenanigan meets shenanigan. Bill Belichick and Juju Smith-Schuster. That's going to be an interesting.
It shuts down as soon as I'm assuming if you went to look up like Juju Smith's TikTok account, it's probably like deleted because like
he locked down on it already, Belichick.
Belichick's like,
okay, rule number one: no TikTok.
No more TikTok.
It's like the next
33 million. Okay.
The Cardinals obviously didn't make that rule with Kyler Murray and his he plays video games, right?
Yeah, he plays video games. Right, definitely.
No, but you know what? Tons of football players play video games. They play Madden.
I was talking to some people last night or the night before, and last night, and something that was very interesting to us was that quarterbacks complain too much when it comes to like contracts. Like, so apparently this whole thing with Lamar is that teams are offering him contracts, but they're also saying, like, if he gets hurt, then you only get X amount. And he's being like, no, I want to get paid. I don't want to, if I get hurt, I don't want to hear. He knows he's going to, or he doesn't know he's going to get hurt. Hopefully he stays healthy. We don't ever want to, you know, hope on a player's, you know, injuries, but Lamar Jackson can get hurt very easily. And he's not trying to like, I only make $60 million over a 4-year period if I get hurt every year. Well, that's he's pretty much like, it's like he should get a hourly paycheck from a team. Like if he's clocked in and playing, get paid. Not clocked in, no pay. Like it's that simple.
The Ravens payroll guys should put him on hourly. I like that.
That'd be great. Can you imagine like a player was hourly? That'd be sick. Be like $1 million an hour. Okay. That's what it is. It should be $1 million an hour for Lamar Jackson. Right, like every time, every hour you play, it's 3 hours. That's $3 million.
You
want to
go a step further? What about $1 million a touchdown?
Yeah. Wow. Bonuses. Like for every this, you get this. And every time you throw the ball, you get $1. Oh.
Every time you step on the field, you get 50 cents.
Hey, money's money, all right? But clearly, you know, but no. Aside, though, the quarterbacks, you know, you say the same thing you mentioned Kyler Murray, that it was in his thing that he had to watch film. Like, it was in his contract that he had to watch film. Like, why is that? It shouldn't have to be in your contract as a quarterback to watch film, right? And, like, then he complained about people making fun of him. Like, who are you? Complain like you're an athlete, you're a millionaire you're an athlete, you're living the dream, and you're complaining about people making fun of you because you were forced to watch film. Like, what are we doing? Let's get real. Like, let's get some real quarterbacks.
No, I think that's
hopefully the draft this year brings us some real quarterbacks.
You think the Gen Zs are going to be better? No, you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of Ravens fans are fed up with the Lamar Jackson situation for this reason. It's like, you know, he doesn't have an agent, so it's causing a lot of miscommunications and a lot of misunderstandings. And Lamar's job is to be a football player. It's not to be a negotiator. So he's doing something that he doesn't necessarily know how to do. And it's causing all these things. And Ravens fans are just fed up with it. Just like, just either leave or stay or do whatever the heck you want. But this is just enough, this whole limbo situation. I can't handle it. And then social media, every time you post something in social media, people jump on it, cryptic, this, that. Sort of like Aaron Rodgers, same thing. Like, all these cryptic messages, and everyone's like, what does it mean? Maybe if you read between the lines, it's like learning the Talmud, you know what I'm saying? Maybe if you read between the lines, then you could see where Lamar Jackson's going to land next year, maybe. But I think people are a little fed up with it, Meisty. I certainly think so.
Yeah.
Gen Z's coming in next year.
No, that's why Aaron Rodgers is the best signing. The Jets are smart. Mm. Instead of trading up and getting a Gen Z, they're like, no, let's get a quarterback.
That's what it is. The millennials are the real, I guess, the real problem here. Yes, really. That's really where it's coming. You know, is Rodgers a millennial? 38? He's probably
a... No, he's probably a boomer.
Is he a baby boomer? Is it? But Rodgers? 39. If I'm 39 years old, am I a baby boomer? Yeah, that's right. I'm looking it up right now. We need to get accurate information here. A baby boomer was born between 46 and 64. No, it's the one after baby boomer. It's after baby boomer, no?
What's after baby boomer?
Gen X. He's a Gen Xer.
The Gen X put the dude. Well, let's discuss that Gen X. They gave us some generational talent.
So Gen X. So okay. Rodgers and Brady are very borderline Gen X, right? So Gen X is 65 to 80. By the way, there's an argument about all these things because if millennials, some say goes till 96, some take gold to 2000. We're half Gen Zs, half millennials. But if you look at talking slander about Gen Zs over here, talking slander about ourselves. But Gen X is 65 to 80, and Rodgers was probably born in the early 80s, so he's probably technically like an early millennial. But yeah, you're right. It's really the Brady, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, like right, you know, in that by over there. That's the sweet
Brady
spot.
And Rodgers. Brady and Rod. Brady, like, old. Rodgers, like, he took on the media stuff. Brady, like, was like, no, I'm still old school.
No, Brady just smiled and, like, I don't even know what. No, the truth is, you pointed this out to me, that Brady used to not be like that, right? The media didn't used to like him as much because he was more rigid with Belichick and everything. More uptight, more strict, you know, he sort of had to go by system. But then once he left, he more like, he was smiling and he was having fun with the media.
Once he left, by the way, when he was on the Patriots, he was playing football. Because he had one goal, and that was to lift that trophy. He didn't care what was in his way. He right. wanted that trophy at the end of the season. Once he left the Patriots, he just enjoyed playing football and being on the field with the boys. And he really looked like he enjoyed the game the last couple of years. Last year, obviously not as much, but you know, the first year with the Bucs, he really did enjoy himself. So,
agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
Pretty much it.
How's your bracket doing, Meisty? March Madness bracket.
We have a special guest. He's waiting for us somewhere.
Oh, yeah? Wait, are we going to talk some March Madness?
We'll talk some March Madness. We have to take a little pause for station identification for our little ad.
Okay, so that'll wrap up our free agency thing.
Rocky, real quick. Julius Randle has 52 points, and they're still losing, and it's just starting the fourth quarter. Not that we care about basketball. Continue.
I was going to say, ask me if I care. You already got me. No, I care about basketball. I care about college basketball.
Get right into it. So
you know what? Let's take a little break. We'll talk about our brackets a little after, but we'll wrap up the NFL segment.